In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we just say thank you for another opportunity to sit at your feet to learn from you. Speak through us. Open our eyes, open our understanding. Help us to hear you and help us to apply what you teach us. We acknowledge that you are the one that has made us able ministers of this new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're looking at, before I start, I just had two scriptures that just came to my mind. They're not the message. I don't know if it's going to, anybody will find them useful. Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Some other translation says that they are vanity. And then Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Praise God. That's that we have to depend. Again, it just reinforces the fact that we have to depend totally on God. We're looking at John chapter 11. But I will take it from verse 17. It's the story of Lazarus, and we're all familiar with this story. It's a very long reading, 1 to 43, but I'll just take it in bits and try and highlight the area that the Lord is leading us to look at today. It says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Talking of Lazarus, he was now in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still. I want us to notice that Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And this is what we're going to speak on this evening, but I'll just go on. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Remember that in verse 20, it says Mary sat still. And now Martha is saying the Lord Jesus is asking for Mary. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave, unto the grave, to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. She's repeating what her sister said. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha. Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said this, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Praise the Lord. We'll stop there. Like I said, we're looking at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked Martha, believest thou this? And Martha said, yes, I believe. In short words, I believe that thou... She didn't say, I believe this statement, but she says, I believe you are Christ, the Son of God, which cometh into the world. And when she had said so, she went away. And you remember that Martha was the one who complained about Mary. And now she is in the forefront. Mary is the one that is sitting still. So, in the earlier time Jesus met them, she was saying, Jesus, look, Mary is not doing anything. She's just, and Jesus said, look, Mary has chosen the right thing. But now she's changed. She's the first to go to Jesus. She says, look, I believe you, Lord Jesus. And if you were here, my brother would not have died. Now, Jesus still loved Mary. So Jesus asked for Mary. And then Mary now got up. And we all know what it is to lose someone you love, or some of us. And so she ran to Jesus. Hastily she left. And she said the same thing. If thou had been here, my brother would not. So they had confidence in Jesus. And if you look at the beginning, it says Jesus loves them. That's in the 11:5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This was a family that Jesus loved, all of them. And so it was now a time of distress, unhappiness, the whole family. And the people around, note, they could not help them. They could only weep with them. They had no help to offer. See, they said, oh, maybe she's going to the grave to cry again. What can we do? Let's just follow her. And when they saw Jesus, she was weeping. They also were weeping. And Jesus himself wept. But then Jesus now proved himself. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. That was his statement, a clear declaratory statement. So in 39, he says, take ye away the stone. Now, Martha, who had said earlier on, thou art the Christ, you can see that now she's walking in unbelief. She says, the sister of him that was dead, saith, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days, which is true. He's been dead 4 days. There's a tradition of the Jews that a spirit of a dead person stays in this world for 3 days. So some school of thought says that's why Jesus waited for 4 days before coming. But I don't know how far that is true. Now, Jesus had waited 4 days, and he had told his disciples in his earlier parts that this is to bring glory to the Son of Man. So he knew everything. And he says, I'm glad I was not there when this happened. This is for you also. So Jesus now went there. Jesus reassured her. See, the Lord loves them. And he said unto her again, sometimes we feel God is condemning us. He said, no. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. If thou wilt believe, thou wilt see the glory of God. And this is the same matter that said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. She said that in verse 22. You see, but yet she's saying, look, it's 4 days. So sometimes we say ourselves, we say these scriptures, but do we really believe? And it looks like an impossible situation. 4 days. So Jesus now says, Father, I know that thou hearest me always. But because of these people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And so this was the proof. A man who was dead for 4 days, who had been buried in the presence of everybody, comes out alive. What is greater than this? That is evidence that I am the resurrection and the life. So everybody did what? They believed on Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, he shall live. How can a dead person believe on Jesus and live? And then it says, whoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. So here we see something that looks like a contradiction in terms. But let us, this evening we're dealing with death, life, living, and our conceptions of these things. Death, life, living, and how we view it, our conceptions of these things. So it's established that Lazarus was raised from the dead. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave him life. I am the resurrection and the life. Where life encounters death, death gives way. Absence of life is death. Presence of life, no death. So scientists, they have not rested. They are looking for the source of life. They want to know the origin of life. So they finally decided that life starts in a cell. Starts in a cell. But how does life start? What is life? That is what has baffled them ever since. But here we are, the answer is so clear to us. We, the children of God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, gave him a new lease of life. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were dead. So we are now made alive in Jesus Christ. So this is what Jesus is portraying. Here is Lazarus, completely dead, 4 days. And you remember that Lazarus was alive and he had now died. So it's a picture of what he had come to do. He was showing it clearly. So let us look at the old life before we go to the book of beginnings, Genesis 2, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 2, verse 7. This is how life started. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. That's the NLT. But in the King James, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So what made man become a living soul? The breath of life from the mouth of God was breathed into man's nostrils. That is how man came alive. So we see the source of life for man at the beginning. It was God's source. Now we go on. As a Jew, Lazarus was under the old covenant. God made man. Man fell in the Garden of Eden. Sin and death came into the world. Man died. He says, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So man had fallen, man had died. So now that's the old life. Now God makes a covenant with Abraham. And Lazarus is a Jew under this old covenant. You see? So now he has a contract with God. But we who are not Jews, Gentiles, were separated from God. We are alienated from God. Without God in this world. That's how we're described. So that is the old life. But Jesus Christ has come that we might do what? He says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He say, and then the word of God tells us that, let's look at that, John chapter 1, that's very important. So we see that Jesus categorically tells us why he has come. And I wonder if these people remember that this time, that this is why Jesus came. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Not just life. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. You see? So where is life? In the Word. And who is the Word? The Word was God. And who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. Praise God. So we see now that Jesus came, that this, all of us might have life and have it more abundantly. And this evening, we're looking at what Jesus has come to do. Did he succeed? Is the question that we're going to ask ourselves. Did Jesus succeed or did Jesus fail? Our Lord Jesus never failed. So he says in John 7:38, whoever believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But before we go into that, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What is life? Jesus does not leave us in doubt. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is Jesus himself talking. So you can see that this life is inextricably linked with knowledge, that you may know God and Jesus. And when you know God and Jesus, you have what? Eternal life. Now, it says we were alienated from him. And how did that happen? Adam separated himself from his maker. Death was introduced. No relationship with God again. Eternal life was lost. So what did God do? He did a new creation. How does that new creation come into place? If any man believes in me, that's what Jesus Christ told them. Let me just read that part quickly. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Brothers and sisters, it's so hard for us to take these concepts. Why? Because we sometimes conform to the world. How many of us remember as we're sitting here now that I have eternal life? That I will live forever. Now, Jesus is not speaking about this physical body. That is what has kept many of us. You see, life came through the breath. Man became a living soul. A soul. Now, a new life is created in Christ. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. In him was the life. That life is the light of men. So, You can only get this life through Jesus. So we see where Adam failed. But now let's think of what God is doing. Can we go to Corinthians? Corinthians. No, I'm trying to get the scripture now. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 48. See, this is why Lazarus was blessed. He encountered life. But we're going further than Lazarus. 1 Corinthians 15. We're talking about the resurrection and the life. Emphasis on the life. 15:45. This is the Apostle Paul, inspired by God. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, the one that fell, became a living soul. The last man was made a quickening spirit. Now, the first man is Adam. The last man is Jesus Christ. Now, it says in verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Adam was natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You see it? And who is that second man? Jesus our Lord. He says, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. Now, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we see clearly here, this scripture explains everything to us. Flesh and blood is not going to heaven. No way. We're talking of the spirit, the real you. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:7, he is a new creature. He's not talking of this body. This body never became new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. Now, this man, the second man, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a quickening spirit. We were dead in sin and trespasses. He quickened us. He gave us a new life. His own very life. The very life of God. That's what we are operating with now. And it was that life Jesus gave to Lazarus. Come forth. How did he release that life? Did he touch him? No. He spoke to him. Now, you remember the scripture. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and they are life. Let me quickly ask any of us here, how did we get born again? Can anybody remember? How did we receive eternal life? We believed. We believed God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we became born again. You see it? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Jesus told that woman at the well, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, he says in Revelation 3:20, I knock, behold, whoever opens, myself and the Father will come and sup with him. Then in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them. We will come and then make our home with him. Our pastor has talked so much on the triune God. So you know that where Jesus is, where the Father is, there must be also who? The Holy Spirit. He says, behold, I send you a comforter. He will dwell in you. He will teach you. He will lead you. So what do you have? Eternal life. That they may know him. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So immediately, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of them living in you. And today, they are living in all of us. In each and every one of us. Christ is the head, we are members of his body. This is the church of the living God. Now, what do you do with this information? What do you do with this knowledge? That the resurrection and the life that raised Lazarus from the dead is now in you. That you are now created in him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, they've passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Like our pastor preached this morning, that we should be made the righteousness of God. The Bible says Jesus presented us to God holy, unblameable, irreprovable. You cannot become a newborn baby and have deficits. A new creature. Everything is new. No more sin. No more sin. You start with a clean slate. And that is why he says you must continue to believe. Steadfast in the faith. There's an enemy. A double-minded man, like our pastor said this morning, is unstable in all his ways. James said, he will get nothing from God. You started by believing God. Paul in Galatians said, having begun in the spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? Will you now be made perfect by works? The same scripture says, anything that is not of faith is sin. Without faith, you can't please God. So what has God done? He has given us his only begotten son. He has created us in him. Initially, he made us from the dust of the ground, gave us this body, put his breath in us. We fell. But he now made something better, gave us the last Adam, a quickening spirit. So that last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, he now says, he's the vine, we are the branches. And this settles everything. We can never be separated from him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. You see it? In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Why are we seated here today? We're seated here because we want to know what we can do to do the works of God. And that's what the Jews asked Jesus. What shall we do to do the works of God? John 6:29. Jesus said, believe on him that have sent. It's not a question of, I will do this for the Lord. You believe, you receive by believing. Whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. And when you start by believing, you end by believing. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He started giving us that faith. He will make everything we ask for. Every promise of God in Jesus Christ is yes and amen. Anything you get that you're not getting from Jesus, where are you getting it from? So in conclusion, let us now look at Jesus' own statement. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Seems to be my favorite, yes. Where is the life coming from? The life is coming from the vine. And it's flowing into the branches. The same life in Jesus is the same life in me. It's the same life in you. But you are looking at this physical body. The word of God says that spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in us. And that same spirit will quicken this mortal body. But this mortal body cannot stay forever. We will drop it. Then the real you will stand before God. And that's what a lot of us get confused about. We think I'm this body. We get bound to this earth. No. You have something in you that is so unimaginable, so precious, so wonderful. The very life of the creator of heaven and earth is now in you. You are joined to his son, the resurrection and the life. Wherever you come, As you grow in grace and knowledge, you reflect Christ. That's why Paul prayed for the Galatians. My little children, who has bewitched you? He says, I have to start praying for you again until Christ be formed in you. This is the goal of God, that we become Christ-like. And how do we become Christ-like? By abiding in the vine. How do we receive this eternal life? This life that brought us from the dead like Lazarus to a new life. And so, like Adam denied that life by disobedience, we will conclude by John 14:20. It says, anyone who loves me and will obey my teachings, obey my teachings. John 14:23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. So you cannot say, I am serving God and walk in darkness. You cannot say, I'm part of the true vine, I'm receiving that life, and do things contrary to the vine. Is your life. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. We are dead in this world. That's what he says. But when Christ, who is our life, who can destroy you when Christ is your life? So I will leave us with these thoughts. This man, Lazarus, got a new life. That woman with the issue of blood, because of that eternal life that was flowing out of Jesus, her blood, her issue of blood ceased. The widow of Zain, was her only child was raised. Now, Jesus says, go out and do the works. Greater works than I did will you do. Jesus says, you are the workmanship of God. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Then is the one who saved us. Why did he save us? He called us. How did he call us? With a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, his own grace, which he gave to us before the world began. That purpose, that grace is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. Savior, we're saved. Jesus Christ, who abolished death. He then brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That is the good news we're sharing this evening. Life and immortality. I will live forever. You will all live forever in the presence of eternal life, God himself. So whatever we're going through now, whether it's you are living in Buckingham Palace, or you are the poorest man in a village in Africa, as long as you have Christ, that is the hope of glory. Christ in you. Praise God.